How many of you know that we are living in an accelerated world? Right? The prophet Daniel declared that in the last days, that those times would be characterized by people running to and fro. Fast pace, hectic. You know, Daniel describes a very fast-paced society. Japan has produced an incredible automobile named the Aspark Owl. The Aspark Owl can go from 0 to 60 in 1.7 seconds. Now, you can order one of those babies from your local dealership for a mere $3 million. I think all of us ought to go get one and try to have it here for, you know, next month, right? That's fast, but that's a lot of cash for a car with a lot of acceleration. But have you ever thought about divine acceleration? A season in your life when God propels his plans forward with unstoppable momentum. Now, in our Start Again series for January, I think we ought to start again with a season of acceleration. All right, so I always give a word for the year. Last year, we had the word thrive. This year, for 2020, I want to give you the word acceleration. And I think we ought to believe God in this year, 2020, for divine acceleration. I want to give you a couple of verses of scripture. First one is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 5. And this is definitely one of those acceleration verses. So in John 5, 17, Jesus said, "My Father has worked even until now." I love what it says next. "He has never ceased working. He is still working. And lo, I too must be at divine work." Man, that is a verse of divine acceleration. God is always on the move. That's what this is telling us. He's not on vacation. He's not taking a break. God is always on the move. Now, let me give you another verse of scripture. This one is found in the book of Acts, chapter 9. And verse 31 gives us another illustration of acceleration. It says, "Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And they were walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and they were multiplied." Now, I want you to hold on to that little phrase there at the end of that verse where it says they were multiplied, because I'm going to visit that in the last point in the sermon today. But that is an incredible statement about acceleration. So I want to talk to you today for a few moments about divine acceleration. So what is divine acceleration? How would we define it, or how would we explain it? What is it? Here's a simple definition. It is the supernatural ability of God making things happen quickly. I am believing God for acceleration. Hallelujah. Supernatural ability of God making things happen quickly. When God's ability, my friends, is applied to our inability, things happen supernaturally. God has a now time for his people. Let's believe God for our now time. Acceleration. I want to talk to you. This is an incredible thought that we find, and it is substantiated in the Word of God, that we can expect God to move and to move quickly. I'm going to share some examples of that in the scripture. I want to give you four things to consider today in answering this question. What does divine acceleration accomplish? Now, I know that it's hard. We don't really want to wait for anything, do we? It's hard to wait for something. I mean, we can, we can go buy things on credit, you know, without having the money. Because if you're going to pay cash, you have to wait. Who wants to do that, right? So we have, you know, this idea or this concept of waiting is not something that really sits too well. However, we do find in the scripture that God says there is always a waiting period. But there is then, after the waiting is over, there is then an acceleration of what he wants to do. So that's why I want to submit to you this this question and kind of answer it with four things to consider. So what does divine acceleration accomplish? Here's what it does. First of all, it will shift circumstances and it will command progress. Now, how many of you want to believe God that your circumstances are about to change? Yeah. Hallelujah. Circumstances are about to change. When divine acceleration takes place, there will be a shift of circumstances, and there will be incredible, awesome progress. Now, one of the greatest examples that I think we can find in Scripture is found in Genesis 41. Genesis chapter 41, we pick up on the story of a man by the name of Joseph. Now, the Bible says that Joseph was hated by his brothers. It says that his brothers were extremely jealous of Joseph. Joseph was a good-looking guy, and Joseph had some incredible gifts, and his brothers despised him. He was sold into slavery by his brothers for a mere $100. That's what they sold him for. That's how little they valued Joseph. Sold him into slavery for $100. But God's hand was on Joseph. Now, you can go into the book of Genesis and read several chapters that give us the account of his life and all the things that happened. We don't have time to do that kind of character study today. But I want to pick up on Joseph's rise to power. See, because Joseph was falsely accused of attempted rape, and he was thrown in prison in Egypt. And we pick up the story there in Genesis chapter 41, and I want to point out to you what we read in verse 38 through verse 41. The scripture says this: Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" Now, what had happened up to this point is that Joseph was in prison, accused of attempted rape. Two of Pharaoh's servants, his chief butler and his chief baker, were also in prison. Now, they had a dream, and Joseph gave them the interpretation of the dream. And his interpretation was that the butler is going to be elevated back to a position of authority, but that the baker was going to be executed. Now, how many of you know that's not the kind of prophetic word you're looking for? I don't know, maybe he baked bad cakes. But he told the butler, he said, when you are put back in position, mention me to the Pharaoh. But as human nature would have it, the butler is elevated back to his position of authority. The baker is executed, and the butler forgets all about Joseph. Just totally forgot all about him. Until one day, Pharaoh dreams a dream. So he has this troubling dream. So he brings all the magicians in. I need you to tell me and explain to me this dream. None of the magicians could do it. He brings all of the wise men in. He tells them the dream. He says, I need you to tell me what this dream means. None of them can do it. All of a sudden, a light bulb went out in the butler's mind. He says, wait a minute. He said, there's a guy that I met in prison who told us our dreams. And it happened just like he said. So Pharaoh said, bring him. All right, so he brings him in, he tells him the dream, and then Joseph said, here's what the dream means, because he saw seven fat cows and he saw seven skinny cows. And he said, here's what it means. There's going to be 7 years of plenty, and then there's going to be 7 years of great famine. So that's what we pick up in the story. And that's why Pharaoh says in verse 38, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Hallelujah. We read on in verse 39. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. Look at this. You shall be over my house and over my people, and they shall be ruled according to your word. And only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. In a matter of minutes, Joseph went from the prison house to the second in command over all of Egypt. That, my friend, is divine acceleration. Hallelujah. That fast in a moment of time, Joseph was promoted from being an insignificant prisoner to a powerful politician over all of Egypt. Divine acceleration. My friends, when divine acceleration happens, there will be a shift of circumstances, and there will be an incredible command of progress. Let's believe God for it. Amen. Let me move on. Here's the next thing. What does divine acceleration accomplish? Secondly, it is going to raise you out of the pit. I love this in Psalms 40 in the Message Bible. You know, the Message Bible is an interesting Bible. It's what we would call a transliteration of the Scripture. So it's not a Bible that you would, you know, really necessarily study to develop your theology from or your doctrine from. But it gives us, in just kind of normal, everyday language, some understanding of what the Scripture is saying. So in Psalms 40, Psalm of David, this is how it reads in the Message Bible. It says, I waited and waited and waited for God. There again, we don't really like to wait, do we? But yet there is always a waiting time. He said, I waited and waited and waited for God. At last he looked. Finally he listened. He lifted me out of the ditch, pulled me from the deep mud. He stood me up on a solid rock to make sure I wouldn't slip. He taught me how to sing the latest God song. I love this. A praise song to our God. More and more people are seeing this. They enter the mystery, abandoning themselves to God. I love that. Give me the latest God song to sing to the Lord. A song of praise, a song of worship, a song of declaration. But what an incredible illustration of just the pit. He pulled me out of deep mud. Kind of reminds me years ago, I had run upon a mud flat on a fishing trip. And fortunately, it was in the warm weather months. I had to get out of the boat and literally had to push the boat off of the mud flat. Now, let me tell you, it's no pleasant experience because when you get out of a boat on a mud flat, first of all, your feet sink about 2 feet. So your legs are about that deep in mud, and you're trying to push the boat out, and it's not a pleasant task. Now, in the wintertime, when the temperature of the water is about 50-somewhat degrees, or depending on what kind of winter we have here in southeast Louisiana, it could be even colder than that. It's definitely not something you're looking forward to do, let me tell you. But David was saying, man, he said, I have been in the mud of life, and God elevated me out. I just thought of a pit, and what does a pit really mean? So I just kind of thought of this just real simple definition. A pit is an undesirable place of discouragement. Have you ever been in a place of an undesirable place of discouragement or despair or maybe even a little depression? Well, my friend, if you've ever been in that, and I'm sure that all of us have at one point or another, then you have been in a pit. Because anything that causes a sense of helplessness or a sense of hopelessness is a pit. And all of us know that life has many, many pits. David said this in Psalm 34:8. He said, I sought the Lord, he heard me, and he delivered me out of all of my fears. See, that's another statement of what divine acceleration will accomplish. Sometimes we might just be in a waiting period. We're just waiting and waiting and waiting. But just like he says here in Psalms 40, when things happen fast. Divine acceleration. And all of a sudden you are raised out of the pit. Joseph was in prison for a good while. And then bam, all of a sudden, I mean in just a matter of minutes, he goes out of the pit of bondage and despair and helplessness and hopelessness to this incredible position of power and authority. Now, I thought of another example. I didn't include this one in the notes, but I was reminded of the demoniac of Gadara. And the Bible says that this man was in extreme bondage for a long, long time. And he would live in the cemetery. And he was always screaming and crying. And he was always cutting himself, the Bible says, with stones. And it was so bad, it says that they couldn't even get him in a straitjacket. You know, because he was so violent. And he had so much energy. Because he was possessed. He had demonic power possessing him. And the Bible says no one wanted to pass by the cemetery because they didn't want to encounter the demoniac. So he was in that condition for a long, long time until one day Jesus comes by. Amen? And what happened? He set him free. He broke the bondage. He broke all of the shackles. He broke all of the power and the authority of the devil. And I love what the scripture says after that happened. It says that people were coming by to look at the demoniac of Gadara, and he was seated, and he was clothed, and he was in his right mind. Divine acceleration. It happened that fast. Hallelujah. My friends, I am believing God for divine acceleration. Let me give you the fourth one. And this one is incredible. Because this is where all of us should be doing. We should all be on this path of spiritual maturity. So what does divine acceleration accomplish? Well, the third thing is that it will mature you for God's purpose. Look at what this says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, two verses, verse 20 and verse 21. He says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep." How did he do that? He says, "Through the blood of the everlasting covenant." Hallelujah. Through the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. You know, we used to make a reference to this phrase years ago. I think it's kind of lost its emphasis or lost its focus today, about pleading the blood. You know, there was even a song, "Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you." Amen. Listen, my friends, if you go through trials and tribulations, I believe you can plead the blood of Jesus Christ, because the Bible says right here that the God of peace, who brought our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, he did all of that through the blood of the everlasting covenant, will make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, I want you to notice that little sentence, that little phrase in verse 21, working in you. God working in you is divine acceleration. God working in you is what will propel you forward into his will and into his purpose. Spiritual maturity is the deepening of the Christ life. You know what's so sad? Is there's going to be so many people in 2020 who will do absolutely nothing to make their life better than they did in 2019. They'll stay in the same bondages. They'll stay in the same rut. They'll stay in the same pit, because you have to elevate your faith. If you want to get out of where you are, you're going to have to exercise some faith. You're going to have to do something to take hold of the promises of God and to move forward to get all that God has for you. You are going to have to deepen the Christ life. But so many times, what will people do? The very opposite. They stop praying. They stop seeking God. They'll drop out of church. You know, well, where's brother so-and-so? Well, who knows? You know, and I tell you, you know, I know the Lord must sometimes get frustrated, because human nature is just so fickle. I mean, it's just fickle. Now, years ago, we went to a minister's meeting in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and had a wonderful time. You know, our minister's organization does these gatherings. They do, it's what they call the spring gathering and the fall gathering. Becky and I will be in Birmingham actually in March for the spring gathering. And I remember that after we had our meeting, they did it there because they wanted us to be able to fellowship together and go and experience some of the, you know, attractions that are in Gatlinburg. So we went to the Chinese acrobat show. And it was an amazing show. And I don't remember too much of the other things that they did, because they did a lot of things. But one thing I do remember, because I was sitting next to a pastor friend of ours who pastors a church in Tennessee. And they had 10 plates on this table. So the Chinese acrobat, he got on the left side of the table. He stood the plate up and he spun it like a top. And the thing just was spinning. Then he went to the second one and he got it going. And then he went to the third one and he got it going. But here was the challenge, because the first plate was losing its momentum, so he had to go back and get it spinning again. So then he went to the fourth plate, got it spinning. Then he had to go back to the second plate because it was losing its momentum, got it spinning. Then he went to the fifth one, got it spinning. Then he had to go to the third one. By the time he got to the sixth one, he had to go back to the first one and the second. I mean, it was an amazing thing to see. But before it was all said and done, he had all 10 of those plates spinning simultaneously. But let me tell you, it wasn't easy of what he did. And the pastor sitting next to me, he said, "Isn't that like pastoring?" He said, you get one member going in the right direction, and then you go get the next member going, and then you got to go back and help the first member. And I said, "Man, you are absolutely right. You know, it's challenging." You know, but listen, we have to deepen ourselves. If we want divine acceleration, we have to go deeper in Christ, because the deeper we go in Christ, the greater is the level of divine acceleration. Because remember, Jesus said it in John chapter 5. He said, the Father is working. The Father is always working. The Father is working right now. And he said, I am working with him. Hallelujah. Divine acceleration. Divine acceleration. Maturing us into God's purpose. Here's the fourth and final one. And this brings us back to the multiplying factor. Let me give you this verse. I love this verse. 2 Peter. Y'all know I have a lot of verses that I love, right? I love them all. Hallelujah. But some stand out a lot more than others. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, he says this. He says, may grace, God's favor and peace, which is perfect well-being, it is all necessary good, it is all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts, be multiplied to you. Do y'all see that word? Remember, we looked at that verse of scripture in Acts 9:31, where he said that the move of God was being multiplied. So he's telling us right here that our level of grace will be multiplied. He said it'll be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Multiply. Now, if you go into the book of Acts and begin to read through those chapters, you will find that the Lord added to the church, and the Lord added believers, and the Lord added disciples. But then you find verses where it says the disciples multiplied, just like we read in Acts 9:31. Then you'll find other verses where it says that the word of God multiplied. Now, 2 + 2 = 4. Right? All right, we're in math class now. 2 × 2 = 4. Boy, see how smart I am with numbers? 3 + 3 = 6. But 3 × 3 = 9. Wait a minute. There's a little shift now in numbers. 4 + 4 = 8. 4 × 4 = 16. Now, all of Louisiana is celebrating the national championship for the LSU Tigers. They won an incredible championship against Clemson, right? Accomplished, you know, a perfect seat. Nobody could beat them. You know, so the coach, go Tigers. The coach signed, when he took the job, he signed a five-year contract for $17.5 million. Now, that's a nice chunk of change. All right, but he just got an extension that is now worth $42 million. Now, how many of you know that's leaning a little towards the multiplier factor rather than the addition factor? Now, think about what God is saying in his word, that God will multiply things. Hallelujah. Listen, if you have your salary doubled, that's addition. If you have it tripled or quadrupled, that's multiplication. I'll never forget hearing the testimony of Kurt Warner, who is now in the NFL Hall of Fame. And tremendous story. Great Christian brother, born again Christian. Kurt Warner says that he was bagging groceries in a supermarket for minimal wages. And he said, then the next year, he finds himself playing on an NFL football team making millions. My friends, that is multiplication. When God begins to multiply things, when he multiplies our level of grace, there is going to be other areas of our life that is multiplied. Hallelujah. I am believing God that in this year, 2020, there is going to be some divine acceleration. And when there is divine acceleration, there is multiplication. Hallelujah. God can multiply your business. God can multiply your career. God can multiply your health. God can multiply every area of your life. You may even be believing God for your kids who may simply be in that pit. They may be, you know, in that, the things that we talked about, you know, in this outline today. They may be under bad circumstances. They may be stuck in a rut. But all of a sudden, my friends, they can go from the prison, from the dungeon house to a position in God, seated and clothed and in their right mind, because God is a God of acceleration. So in 2020, I am believing God that he will accelerate his work in our hearts, in our lives. Hallelujah. That he'll multiply provision in this church. I am believing God to multiply multiply his provision. I went to a luncheon yesterday with two wonderful pastor friends of mine, and Slidell and Dale Yurton, of course. Many of you may know Dale. Spoke at our church and was the chairman of our ministers organization for many years. And they were talking, we were sharing stories about how God moves in churches. And Dale was sharing a story of a church that received a gift just out of the clear blue of $1.5 million. I said, now I could do something with that. Amen. I could do something with that. But that's acceleration. It just came out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. Because God multiplies. And the scripture right here, when he begins to multiply his grace, and that's exactly what it says. It says that grace be multiplied to you. When grace is multiplied in our lives, what does the word grace mean? Divine influence of God upon the heart. So when there is divine influence of God upon the heart, supernatural things happen. If we want acceleration, we have to have a multiplication of grace. Why did Joseph go from the prison to that position? Because there was a multiplying of grace. Why did that demoniac get delivered from that demonic control? And then he's seated and clothed and in his right mind, because there was a multiplication of grace that was found in Jesus Christ. And that's why the Bible says grace and peace is multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. I don't have time to get into the rest of this, but if you go to verse 3, he then tells us about the acceleration. Because he said, based upon that grace and peace being multiplied, then his divine power has given unto us all things that we need for life and godliness. And in verse 4, that he has given us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. My friend, all of that is about divine acceleration. I am here to tell you, you might be in a pit of despair. You might be wondering, how am I going to get out of this debt? I am here to tell you, when grace is multiplying in your life, when you begin to really get serious about it, say, I am going to live according to what God says. I'm going to be obedient to his word. And when you begin to do that, and you deepen yourself in the Christ life, and grace is then multiplied to you, there is absolutely, positively going to be divine acceleration. And I am trusting God for it. I am believing in 2020. In 2020. I didn't have time to talk about the suddenlies of God, but there are what we would call suddenlies. The Bible says in the book of Acts, they were praying for 10 days and then suddenly. Right? That's what it says. Suddenly, the Spirit came. We find Old Testament book of Zechariah. It says that the Lord will come to his people suddenly. I mean, the Bible has things that just all of a sudden, just bam, it happens. It's like a bamboo plant. They say when you plant a bamboo seed, said you water it and water it and water it for months, and it doesn't do anything. And then all of a sudden, after that watering process, in a matter of days, it grows like 40 feet. How many of you know that's acceleration?